Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wes Gallion, President, CEO, Wichita Area Builders Association. Welcome to Issues 2024, Wes.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
We were chatting. It's been a few years since you and I talked. For some reason, we just haven't got around to it. But here we are again here after all these years. And hey, Wes, let's start with a little background. What is the Wichita Area Builders Association?
Well, the Wichita Area Builders Association is a nonprofit trade association. And our mission happens to be one that worked, and the reason for our existence really started back in 1951, right after the National Association of Home Builders was formed, and they were adding affiliate chapters to it, and we applied and were approved. And so our whole mission is to do everything we can, every way we can, to keep housing as affordable as possible so more people can own a home than would be the case otherwise.
Okay, so how long, who are your WABA members?
They're local builders primarily. We have some national builders that do multi-state stuff that are primarily suppliers of products and that sort of thing, and they're members too. Presently, we're just shy of 1,000 members. That represents a little over 600 companies throughout the Wichita and surrounding counties, and we all work together to accomplish the same thing, and that's affordability. We're very diverse in terms of membership. If you think how a house gets built or a building goes together from the ground up, everyone that works on those properties, from buying the dirt, getting it platted, getting it zoned, designing what goes on those lots and everything else, and all the financing and all the products that are used and services that are used, all those type of people belong to our association.
So how do you fund the association? Is it dues, or are there any other methods to?
It's dues, yeah. But we also, about half of what funds our association is member dues, and they're very reasonable considering what some of the other builders associations charge in the country. We're one of 700 associations like this throughout the country. And so dues is about half of how we fund it. Otherwise, we fund it through non-dues revenue, like our Parade of Homes promotions, our home show promotions, fundraisers, and that sort of thing.
All right. And Wes, how long have you been with WABA?
This will be my 38th year, Steve.
Wow. Well, I hate to ask what you did before that. You were probably in grade school.
No, I was just a twinkle in somebody's eye at that point, I think.
Did you? What was your job? What did you do before you got with Wobbly?
Well, I was lucky enough when I got out of the military, where I went shortly after I graduated my school. I went to WSU and got my degree, and then I was looking for a job when I was getting ready to graduate, and one of the local appraisers says, well, y'all look at what we do. And I said, what do you do? He says, well, we have a realtors association, and we need someone because our person resigned and left. And so I interviewed for him, got the job. They told me about all this great stuff they were doing. I didn't know any different. I found out they didn't either, but we kind of grew up together and did a lot of nice things. Then I went into the private sector business after about 7 and 8 years with Coldwell Banker when they were forming their Sears Financial Network. Stayed there a while, and then I was recruited to go to work for the Builders Association when John Oliphant had been the president and CEO. He had passed with cancer, and so got the nod there. Been there ever since, and I really appreciate what our members do because I always looked at them as kind of the last bastion of free enterprise when it comes to mom and pop operations.
How are local builders doing business-wise these days?
You know, it's amazing with all the volatility in the marketplace. They are doing pretty well. We're off compared to what we were before inflation and the higher interest rates started having an adverse impact. We're off about 30-40% from what we used to be. But with the shortage of labor that we have in the marketplace here and, quite frankly, nationwide, our builders stay pretty busy. There's still people buying new homes, a lot of remodeling being done. And so, I think what's happened when we went through the pandemic, starting, I think, about 2008, or the bubble in 2008 and 2009, and then the pandemic later, people have been assessing how they live in their homes, the importance of it. And I think it keeps the buying activity strong. The biggest drawback to people buying the homes they want now, particularly on the low end, is the higher interest rates and inflation. That'll come down at some point, but it's going to have to come down some in order to open the market back up like we'd like it to be. But the next geners, the young professionals, are starting to buy homes now. They used to, in our day, we'd buy a home as soon as we could because we understand them. The value of building up equity and whatever, have a place of our own. Most of them wait till they're about 36 to jump in, 36 years old, based on research. But that group is reaching that age bracket now, and so it's helping push the market up.
You talked, you mentioned a couple of things there and the impact. What was the impact overall on that recession back in 2008 and 2009 on the housing and the building market?
Well, Steve, before then, the few years before then, our average number of new homes, single-family homes we built in the greater Wichita and surrounding area was 26 to 2,700. When the bubble hit, everything started to trend down. And one year, we got down to just shy of 500 homes that was built. And then it has never really gotten much above 50% of what that used to be. So it's still having an impact. We thought it would recover, and I think everyone thought it would recover from that fairly quickly. As you know, that economically, that wasn't the case, and there's still forces that keep things down. But it dropped an awful lot. It hurt the city's tax bases in terms of adding new homes for tax purposes and that sort of thing. So we're all working together to try to keep everything at the highest level we can get it at while we can maintain the quality of the homes people want.
You know, and when that, and then again, let's jump ahead to the COVID pandemic. And when that started, I asked somebody locally who really knows about these things. I said, what impact will that have on business? And she said, the supply line, getting the materials that people need is going to be tougher and a lot more expensive. And that was the case, I guess. Would you agree with that?
That was the case. Yeah, I absolutely agree with the case. The supply chain and availability of products that come through the supply chain, it just dropped dramatically. In 1 year, we dropped the increase in price of materials to build a house went up about 30%. And you can't absorb that type of increase really quick. First of all, the market's got to get acclimated to it being different. It limits people in terms of what they can do. But amazingly, we did well through that. And because we were designated with the help of the governor and our national association and our work we did throughout the state, designated an essential service to the community and the economy. So we built right on through that. And it was amazing how people, then we had low interest rates and whatever else, kept buying homes. And so I think it surprised everyone. But thank God they did that, because there were some states that stopped building from occurring. Some cities, not states, but it just decimated those cities that did that.
We're talking about supply chain. Of course, with the computer chip, the microchips was mentioned. Of course, there are by 1,500 of those in a car, things like that. But
yeah, at least.
You're talking about the goods, things that building materials, wood and things that come from here and things that come from overseas as well that go into building a home.
Absolutely. And, if people realize, I think, for the first time in a long time, just how much of that, how much or how valuable a supply chain that's fully functioning is. In products that we use in building, a lot of those come from overseas or other countries, wood in particular. So there was a framing wood shortage and that sort of thing with dimension lumber. And then you have, bathtub, lighting fixtures, appliances, that sort of thing. And it got to a point there when our builders were ordering things, we were telling them, as difficult as it is, because it shifts how you use your financing to build these homes, order all your appliances and everything else well in advance of ever starting to build the home once you've got a contract on it, because it'll take you that long to get it. There was one point there when one of the window suppliers was 52 weeks out. Cabinets were 3, 4, 5 months out once you ordered them. And so what happened is, if you didn't manage it right, you'd get to a point where you had to stop and wait. You'd wait for months to get those supplies, and that's not good for a house set like that. No. So we had to change the way we did things, which also drove the cost up because it was taking us longer. We had to finance, debt on the house longer until we got it finished. But we got them done. One thing that's been really good about our market compared to a lot of others is we're a big city, but we're not a huge metroplex. Some of these cities have multi-state builders, and they pretty much can control the market in terms of what's building. But they got hurt pretty bad during this sort of time, and they build in multiple states. They may build 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 homes a year. Our average builder will maybe build a dozen to 15 to 20 a year, and they're pretty much hands-on type guys along with their subs. So we were able to get the homes built, even though we had delays, and still maintain the quality of the people in which they've become used to.
In the current market, Wes, about how long? I know this is... it's going to be different for each company and each builder, but how long does it really take from the time that you go out and turn the spade until you open the doors in a brand new home? What is the building time?
Well, it used to be on a typical mean priced house, it was about six, seven, 8 months. Now it can be well over a year, up to 2 years, depending on the size of the house.
Wow. Okay. And
so it's changed a lot.
What's the average size home being built in Wichita right now?
Well, we still build a lot of open space plans. We're starting to build maybe some two stories or story and a half, and that's our multi-level. Yeah. But most of them are open space plans because that's what people want. And they can live in the longest without making major changes, too. I would say the median price or average price of a new home in Wichita is about a little over $300,000 right now. And the square footage of that can vary in price depending on what you put in that house in terms of fixtures and that sort of thing. But I'd say it's anywhere from 1,600 square feet to maybe 2,200 square feet, mm-hmm. not counting the basement.
You're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Wes Gallion, President, CEO, Wichita Area Builders Association. Wes, you kind of touched on this, I think, a minute or two ago, but what does employment look like among Wichita builders?
Employment is good, actually. We're keeping all our subs busy and whatever else, and we have this shortage of labor, and that's skilled labor, not just labor, but skilled labor. And so I think one of the things that happened over the years, and it just wasn't in our business, Steve, it was in a lot of businesses, everyone talked about workforce development and how they needed to get involved and, encourage people to look at jobs in the trades and that sort of thing. And some of that happened, but it didn't happen to the extent it should. So our industry and other segments of other industries are way behind the curve on creating opportunities for employment and training and what have you. So young people and not so young people who want to change career paths can make transitions happen pretty quickly. And we're involved in that through a collaboration with local vo-tech schools and things of that nature. And we're going to have a special event at this year's show for students that is going to be pretty neat for the first time.
I will talk about that in a minute or two here. But, the person who goes into the, let's say, the home building business or wants to build houses, they can learn, a lot of it in the classroom nowadays. But the old days was somebody hired you, took it out and taught you how to do it, how to drive a nail and saw a board, right?
Yeah, and that still happens, but not nearly to the extent it used to have. I think there's the orientation people have today, particularly students get out of high school, varies significantly. For years, we used to have, and you'll remember this, when we were going to school and high school and that sort of thing, we got the girls took home ec, the guys took industrial arts or woodworking or whatever else. So they were able to get their hands dirty and learn something about the potential trade that they could work in. And, you know, they'd work summer jobs and that sort of thing and go into that industry. But they quit teaching those things a long time ago. And so people don't learn the basics of that. And so since they weren't teaching it, they weren't oriented toward the opportunities available in the trades, which are significant. And people make really good money, and it's easy to start your own business after you've worked in there a while. And that's in large part what's caused the labor shortage in our segment of the industry and others.
What can a person earn doing building? And I know you've got plumbers and framers and different jobs, but can you make a pretty decent living doing that?
You make a very good living doing that. We have some tradesmen. Well, there's one thing I always tell people, you know, they talk about AI and all that stuff. And I said, well, here's one thing to think about that when you look at the trades. They're not building a house. They're not building a building. They're not pouring concrete. They're not framing. They're not tiling. So if you want a job in the trades, you can get a job in the trades. You can make decent money if you stand. And after 4 or 5 years in, and if you want to start your own business, it's pretty easy to do that, particularly if you're good with your hands and you know what you're doing. But, you know, technology has come to have a significant impact on products and services and how those are installed now today, just like with anything else. But it'll be a growing issue. But I think it'll be many, many years, many, many decades, if ever, that people don't continue to build homes and then remodel homes and sort of that won't be done by machines or computers.
Yeah, and I talk to my grandkids as they're growing up, say, you know, you learn a trade or whatever and get out and do the job and find, and someday maybe you're the owner. Ownership sounds like a good idea to me.
It is. We have the guys that really put their effort forward to become really first-class installers or applicators of various products and services. They do really, really well. You know, people say, well, they're just working and making money from paycheck to paycheck. Well, there's some to do that because they work at the low end of the market, and that's as far as they want to go. But, you know, we have plumbers and mechanical heat and air guys and tile guys and roofers and what have you that do very, very well. They'd make as much money as many of the white-collar jobs, and a lot more than some of the white-collar jobs that are out today. They're available. That's the big thing.
And about the trades, I think about a construction site, and it's all guys out there, but I'm sure that it's an open market for females as well.
Yeah, we're starting to see some females come into the market, and we encourage that. One of the problems, and it's not a problem, it's just a reality, is some of the work that's done takes a pretty good-sized guy with a lot of strength to move stuff around, so that's it limits some in one case not the others. But we have a lot of designers that are first class.
Yeah.
We have gals that are starting to work now as plumbers and electricians and that sort of thing. They do a really good job. Yeah. I have a friend here in Wichita, and he has 4 kids and 3 boys and a girl, and the girl's the youngest. And they're in professional jobs, and she works as a plumber because that's what she wanted to do.
Wow.
And she does a very good job. She keeps pace with her brothers.
Let's talk about the 70th anniversary home show. It'll be at Century 2. What are the dates for this show?
This show will be March the 7th through the 10th. It's Thursday through a Sunday, like it has always been. And we are literally sold out in convention and expo hall this year. We've got nearly 300 exhibitors in there, and it'll be the largest show we've had probably in the last decade.
Wow, that was my next question. How many exhibitors do you have?
300.
300.
Typically we'll run like 230, 240, but we filled both those halls completely up with exhibitors that have products and services for the home. We're going to be doing some seminars that'll help people understand if they're thinking about building or remodeling in particular, redecorating or using or trying to improve their energy efficiency, whatever, what kind of options are available to them. What's it cost? What should they look at first and foremost before they make that buying decision, so they feel that they spent their money in a good order when they do make that decision.
What if you're a DIY person, do it yourself? I bet you can learn a few things down there. Huh?
Yeah, you can learn why you don't want to do it. That's the case.
There you go. That's knowledge.
Yeah, it is. But it's people think that, it seems like people don't have near the time, idle time they used to have to do things like that. And the sophistication in terms of products today and how they're applied and how they can be used in one circumstance and maybe not another, people need to know that, because it's not a one-size-fits-all by any means. Yeah. So this show, you can go to seminars and learn. Yeah. They're talking about doing a deck or a patio or an outdoor kitchen or replacing their windows or flooring or whatever else. They can learn what's best for them to do, depending on how they live.
Would you stop, Wes? You're making me tired now. how many visitors do you expect for the show this year?
We figure about 12 to 15,000 total by the time we get the show all over.
Okay. Highlight a couple of things that might be new and different this year, or something new, do you think is going to be kind of exciting about the show this year?
Well, we're doing a deal with the high schools, and it's called Build My Future. It's an event that we're starting here in Wichita. It's happened in other parts of the country, but not very often. And the whole point of it is it's just part of the workforce education initiative that WABA has started to do our part to inform and educate students at various levels about what opportunities are available in the construction and trade segment of the industry. And the fact that it's a place where they can get started pretty easily, make a good living, and then end up in their own business if they want to. And not everybody wants to do that as far as own a business, but it's available to them if they will. So we are on the 6th before the show opens on the 7th. Having an all-day event, and we've rented the other large hall at Century 2 Exhibition. And we're going to right now we have over 500 students registered for that event from area high schools. And they're going to come in, and from 9 o'clock in the morning, they'll stay until 2 in the afternoon, and they'll see specific type displays set up that show them the types of products and services that are engaged in our segment of the industry. There'll be a lot of hands-on things they can do, so they can get a feel for what actually goes on and product they'll see and so on and so forth. So we think it'll be a great deal to actually involve those students, because we've visited a couple other markets where they've done this a couple times already, and you just have outstanding response from the high schools. And we'll be engaging in other events like this, where it's middle school students as well.
Middle school.
So, wow. Yeah, so it's great. They can come in and see how welding looks like and have a go at design work, framing work, painting, roofing, siding, tile work, all that kind of stuff, and get their hands a little bit dirty. But kids have never seen that, because they don't have that sort of thing in school anymore. Or if they do, it's pretty rare. And so it'll be a major deal for them.
Yeah. So, what else should we tell our listeners this morning while I've got you on here, sir?
Well, the one thing I want people to know is that this home show is in its 70th year. It was started here in Wichita years ago as part of a new homes week that the National Association of Realtors was kind of promoting. And some builders built a number of homes. I think 12 to 15, as I look back historically and check on that number. And they would build them and decorate them, have them have the people come through them. They'd leave them open like a week, week and a half, 2 weeks, or whatever else. And it was kind of like a parade of homes, but the parade of homes had not been started then, so they called it New Home Week. It was a way to get people out to look at new stuff and that sort of thing. And then someone suggested, and I think they were probably product providers, that there ought to be a way we can show off some of the other products we have for the homes, because we can't do it, you know, this way. There's just not enough diversity in the housing and enough of them, whatever else. So they put up a little tent in one of these areas where they were building these homes, put product in it, and it caught fire, and people wanted to see and visit those a lot. And that was the genesis for putting together the home show. And the home show, we have never missed a year since the home show was started.
All right. Well, listen, as always, we thank you for spending a little time with us this morning. And Wes, you've answered probably for somebody who's thinking about buying a home or having a home built for them or anything like that, a lot of good information. And as always, we appreciate it and look forward to that home show coming up on March 7th to 10th at Century 2. Wes, have a good one, and we hope to talk to you again real soon, okay?
Thank you, Steve. Have a good day.
All right. And our guest is Wes Gallion, President, CEO, Wichita Area Builders Association. They have pretty positive information about the building in Wichita and how it's going to go here in 2024, and that show coming up on the 7th. That's all for this edition of Issues 2024. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.